Okay. All right, so Daniel chapter 1. Fantastic. And we're talking about choices. And this is my subject, like my title is Youth in Exile. Don't let the world choose for you. Youth in Exile. Don't let the world choose for you. Hey, how's it going? What's your name?
David.
Hey, David. So what we're doing is we're taking a couple of Haribos each from the bag, and we're choosing the Haribos. So that's why we're thinking about choices. I like the little cherry ones. They're my favorite ones. You like those ones? You got those, Lawrence? Yeah, Grace wants that as well. The little key ones are okay, aren't they? Yeah. All right. So we made a load of choices today. Can anyone just stick your hand up? Tell me a choice that you made today. To breathe. I'm not even sure that is a choice. It's kind of involuntary, but I know what you mean. I suppose you could hold your breath. Give me another choice. Stephanie, what choices you made today?
What clothes to wear.
What clothes to wear? Okay. Any other choices? What do you think?
What to eat for breakfast.
What to eat for breakfast? Okay. Anything where you didn't have a choice? Where you kind of just had to do something? Yes, isn't it? Breathe. Change his mind now. Right? Anything else where you didn't have a choice? We didn't really have a choice.
To eat breakfast.
You had to eat breakfast?
Yeah.
No option. What happens if you don't eat breakfast? Your mum tells you off?
Yeah.
So really, you had kind of no choice. You kind of almost, you could have had a choice, but it would have caused a big fight. Okay. So we're going to think about these young guys. That's what I'm calling it, youth and exile, because we're going to think about four young guys, probably a little bit older than most of you. We're talking about 18. Okay, some of you guys like 8, 9, 10, 11, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, something like that. Yeah, 16, 17?
No, 17.
17, Taylor's 17. Okay, you're the oldest. All right. So these guys are just a bit older than most of you, okay? And there's four of them. You know about this story, right? Daniel and his friends, the great names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I love it. Really cool names. Okay, maybe you don't know the story. And these guys were called youth in exile. And what I mean by that is they were Jewish kids, right? But they were taken to Iraq. You know, Iraq is a very dangerous place today. Where, you know, have you seen on the news those guys, the IS guys? They were taken to there. It was dangerous back then as well. Maybe not as crazy as it is at this precise moment, but very dangerous time. Because they were captured by the Iraqi soldiers and taken to Iraq. Okay? Back then it's called Babylon. But it's basically Iraq, okay? And they were youth in exile. So the reason I chose it, because I thought, well, you guys are all kind of, you're British, but you're Chinese. You know what I mean? So there's an element of, you're kind of, where is my home? You know, my home is England, is London. You guys probably, all of you probably speak better English, maybe than your parents, definitely than your grandparents, right? So, you know, English is, for some of you, better than your Chinese, right? Better than your Mandarin or your Cantonese. And so in some ways, there's a culture dilemma. You know, what am I Chinese? You're going to go back to China when you're older? You're going to stay here? Those kind of questions. So these guys had this issue. They're youth in exile. And they had a lot of choices to make. And in some cases, they didn't have choices. Like, they just... In fact, it's interesting what you said, Grace, because they didn't really get to choose what they had for breakfast. Or did they? Okay. So my first point for you guys to think about is, in terms of their circumstances, circumstantially, they had no choice. So we're going to look at verses 1 through to 7, right, in Daniel chapter 1. And I'm just going to read a little bit. Maybe I'll get you guys to do some reading as well if you have a Bible app. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, that's Iraq, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he, Nebuchadnezzar, carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia and put in the treasure house of his God. All right. So basically, the king of Iraq, the president of Iraq, invaded Israel and took all their stuff. All right. Including all their special holy stuff. So it's like a whole bunch of people just come into your church and just take all your stuff. They take the football, the snooker table, they take your laptop, they take everything, right? But it's even worse than that. They took you guys as well. They took all the young people, all the best young people, right? And they chose the best young people. And they had literally no choice. They would be moved from Iraq to Israel. You know, the distance between Iraq and Israel is the same distance between Hong Kong and London. So in their minds, they had to go all that distance, right?
So they were really, they had no choice at all. They had to go because they were like captives. They were like prisoners, okay? They were on the level with the objects. So they're on the level. It's like some guy comes in here, takes a laptop, takes a projector, takes Henry, takes Tyler, takes all of you, right? He wouldn't take me, I'm too old. But it takes all the young, cool people, right? They'd be like, oh, just kick me in the corner and leave me in the corner. But it takes all the cool young people and he takes you off just like you're an object, just like you're a laptop or a mobile phone, all right? About 6,000 miles, the distance from Hong Kong to London. And that's pretty horrible feeling. How would you feel if you were just moved about like an object? It's really difficult to feel that way. How many location choices do you have in your life? You know, you probably don't have much choice. If your parents decided to move back to China, you probably have to go. If your parents decide to come to England, you have to go. If your parents decide, in some cases, they send somebody to boarding school, you have no choice. Maybe even in some cases, your parents will tell you which university to go to when you're older. I don't know. There's a limited amount of choice that you have when you're under 18, right? And even when you get to 18, your parents still control quite a lot, finances and so on. Do you know what I mean? So these guys, it was worse than that. It wasn't their parents. It was this invading foreign army. Now, let me ask you, how does it make you feel if your parents give you choices? Give me an answer to that. If they give you choices about, they say, hey, do you know what? I don't mind if you know, Richard, you can stay in England. We're going back to China. Or you can come back. You can do what you want. They give you a lot of freedom. So you can go to university, where you can go to school wherever you want. You can eat what you want. You don't have to study hard, or you can study hard. It's up to you. You can play Xbox all day, or you can study your math. How does it feel if your parents give you a lot of choices? How do you feel about someone? Put your hand up, tell me. Stephanie, how do you feel if your parents give you a load of choices?
Privileged.
You feel privileged? You feel happy? Anything negative about your parents giving you, dumping all these choices on you?
Your future
will
be ruined.
Why? Helen,
because you're not taught well.
You probably just waste your freedom, yeah. Right? How about the opposite, though? What if your parents make all your choices? So, like, they decide what you're going to wear. They decide what you're going
to
eat.
Lead to suicide because too much pressure.
Lead to suicide? Hopefully we won't get to that point.
It's true, though. You live with that overpressure.
Yeah. Some parents I know, they will basically tell their kids what A-levels are going to do. They will basically tell their kids, this is what you're going to study at university. You are going to do law. Or you're going to do accountancy?
A doctor.
Doctor, yeah. And how do we feel? So we feel suicidal. Maybe a bit less than that. We might just feel, what else might we feel?
Depressed,
pressure. Your parents want you to perform. If you don't get A. When I came and spoke at this at London Hajj Christian Church, I was saying, if you look at the report card, it says A, B. Your parents will go, why'd you get the B? They don't go, why'd you get all the A's? They're like, well done. They say, why'd you get the B? So there's a lot of pressure to do well. And it's hard when we don't have choices. And we have to do it. And even their career choices. Now let's look at verses 3-5. All right. Hey, Henry, can you read those verses? You good at reading 3-5? Great, King James Version. Some of my friends would like that. That's a 400-year-old Bible version you're reading. I don't know if you realize that. It's still pretty easy to understand. Now, you guys, it's a very strict selection process that these guys went through, right? And basically, they're going to uni, but they had very little choice about uni. Now, Tyler might know about this. Some of you older guys might know about this. You have to fill in a UCAS form. All right, have you heard of a UCAS form? Do you know it, Tyler? Are you doing it right now? Okay. So in this UCAS form, stands for, I think, universities and colleges, something, something. You got a few years to think about it, Lawrence. How old are you?
10.
Okay, you got about 6 or 7 years to think about it. Now, what's happened, this is Daniel's, I've made up this UCAS form, but this is like Daniel and his friends. And it says here, Jerusalem University College, subject Hebrew, offer unsuccessful. And then the second uni he applies to, Tel Aviv University, that's in Israel, biblical studies, unsuccessful. Third university, University of Babylon, subject Arabic languages and literature, conditional offer. That means you have to get certain qualifications. And these are the requirements you need to get into the University of Babylon. You have to be royal background. Anyone got a royal background here? Descended from kings and queens? No? No disabilities? Stephanie, okay. No disabilities, good looks. Oh, you're all okay with that one. All-round academic ability, and you have to be smart. You have to be quick on the uptake. And then the other one says University of Babylon, any other subject unsuccessful. So basically, he had no choice. He had to go to the University of Babylon. He had to go for 3 years, and he had to study Arabic. That's it. No choice. Okay? So he was pretty, you know, him and his friends were like, hey, I want to study science, man. I want to study mathematics, or I want to study Hebrew. And they're like, tough. You're going to go to our uni, you're going to study our subject, and you're going to do it for 3 years. Shut up. And that's it. So that was his UCAS form, and he had one option on it. So Daniel was feeling maybe a little bit depressed about that. Maybe not suicidal, Helen. I'm not sure. Maybe he did. Okay. So that was, he had a very limited career choice. How do you feel if you have a very limited career choice in your life? Okay. Now the next bit, verses 6 and 7. Among those who were chosen were some from Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names. To Daniel, the name Belteshazzar. To Hananiah, Shadrach. To Mishael, Meshach. Azariah, Abednego. He changed all their names. Imagine you go to university. As soon as you get there, they say, no, your name's not Taylor. I'm going to call you Tom. Your name's not Henry. I'm going to call you Humbert. you know, and you change all your names. And that's why it's interesting early on, because I was getting, I'm going to get it wrong again. Zaza, yeah? When you get someone's name wrong, it's annoying, right? Someone gets your name wrong. Like, my name is spelled N-E-I-L. Everyone was supposed to N-I-E-L. I was like, hey, it's N-E-I-L, you know? Stephanie.
Yes,
Neil. So you got it wrong. I'm upset now, you see?
It's spelled
A-N. No, N-E-I-L. You say, no, you're getting my name wrong. I'm not talking to you now. I'm not talking to you. Actually, I think that's what I'm calling it. Anyway, the point is your name is a really important part of your identity. And for Chinese people, that's actually very relevant, because a lot of Chinese people, you actually almost get to choose your name, right? So I'm going to tell you a little bit about a girl called Ying Ying. She said this: have an ethnic name in America has its difficulties. Growing up, my given name, Ying Ying, was distorted in more names than you can possibly imagine. Sometimes intentionally, sometimes not. The simplest situations that necessitated introducing myself to a stranger would make me cringe in apprehension. I learned to anticipate the extended pause when a substitute teacher reached my name on the attendance list and raised my hand preemptively to spell in pain. Last name Zhang? It's Ying Ying, that's Ying Ying with two I's. The simplest tasks, from ordering a Starbucks coffee to giving my name to a service attendant at the mall, were fraught with mishaps. Even when my name was spelled and pronounced correctly, an ethnic name comes with the unshakable assumption of being foreign. Despite being 17 and supposedly hardened to the cruelty of the world, there was still a particular sting when an anonymous commentator wrote snidely on one of my pieces, "It's a grammar mistake, but good luck telling someone named Ying Ying Shang about an English error." Compounded to the childhood shame being called ping pong by a few cruel classmates in fifth grade, the need to change my name has never been in question. If only to stave off assumptions about my status as an American citizen and my ability to speak English, the necessity of anglicizing my name only grew as I aged. Yet how does one go about changing your name? Of all the names out there, how do you pick a name that encapsulates your identity? As I grew older, my conception of identity and who I was, I wanted to be, changed drastically from age to age, and my favored name adjusted with it. At the age of 7, I wanted to change my name to Cinderella. And that face pretty. And she goes through, I won't read you the whole article, but it's an article about this Chinese girl living in America, and she wants to change her name all the time because her identity is changing. And as you guys go from being a kid to being a preteen to being a teenager to being an adult, so you've got like a range here, your identity changes and you feel like, who am I? What is my name? Now, these guys, they had no choice. Their names just got changed for them. And Daniel, he went to bed one day as Daniel, and he woke up as Belteshazzar. Imagine going to your new, you know, lesson, you're going to year 11 or something, year 10. Hey, going through. So I'm sorry, miss, my name isn't Daniel anymore, it's Belteshazzar. Oh, man. You get beaten in the playground. Belteshazzar, I'm going to belt you, Belteshazzar. And what was even worse about Belteshazzar, right, was that the first three letters of that name, Bel, B-E-L, stands for like this horrible god, this Iraqi god, like a false pagan idol, disgusting god. So, you know, it'd be like changing your name you know, from Henry to disgusting, horrid Henry or something. It would be actually changing your name to like a really horrible name, or like, you know, if you weren't a Muslim, to have the name Allah put in your name, you know?
Or like Satan.
Yeah, exactly. Satan Helen. You know, that would be really, that'd be really horrible. So, hi, Satan Helen. You're like, don't call me Satan Helen. My name's Helen. So it'd be really horrible, wouldn't it, to have your name changed, because you feel like your identity is being changed and crushed, right? You know, you say, I'm Stephanie. Don't change my name to Satan Stephanie or Smelly Stephanie or something like that, you know? That's not my name, you know? I want my name back, you know? And that's how these guys felt. And they had no choice. Now, that's the first part of the story. The second part of the story is when they do actually have a choice. This is what I want you guys to think about. Because sometimes in life you have no choice and sometimes you do have a choice. What are you going to do when the test moment comes, when you are tested to make a choice to either go God's way or to go the way of the world? To either go Jesus' way or just say, I'm just going to go along with everybody else. Because that's what Daniel and his friends were tested to do. So let's have a look now at verse 8. Daniel decided not to defile himself, like make himself dirty, with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself in this way. Now, God had caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel. But the official told Daniel, I'm afraid of my lord the king, who has assigned you food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men of your age? The king would then have cut off my head because of you. See, back then they were cutting off people's heads in Iraq as well. Not changed. Daniel said to the guard, who the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but veggies to eat and water to drink. And then compare our appearance with the other young men who eat the royal food. And treat your servants in accordance to what you see. So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. All right, so you get the picture. They're saying, right, you have to eat the meat, like really nice meats like steak, or like chicken chow mein, it's like, oh, it's really nice. Or, you know, pork ribs or whatever. It's really, really nice meat. Barbecue chicken, right? But it's been offered to Satan. And being like, bow down there, Satan, have the steak. And then you eat the steak. And you get really nice juice or wine or Coke or whatever you like. Or, and that's been offered to Satan. Or you just get to eat like Brussels sprouts and water. Or maybe just a bit of dry rice and some water. But you don't. It's not offered to the devil. It's not offered to the false god. So Daniel has that choice to make, right? And look, the steak looks really juicy and the wine looks great. But he's like, do you know what? This is my first day at uni. He's 18 years old. He's away from his family. He doesn't want to be there. He's been forced to study a subject he doesn't want to study. He's there for 3 years. He's at a university he doesn't want to be at, 6,000 miles away from home. And he thinks, I'm going to make a stand. And the thing I'm going to make a stand about is what I'm going to eat and what I'm going to drink. All right. It's not, in a way, it's not that important what you eat and drink, is it? Like, it goes in one end, comes out the other, right? That's what Jesus says. He actually says, you put it in your mouth, you poop it out. Mark chapter 7, he honestly says that, something like that, but in more holy language. So really, what you eat doesn't matter, but what matters is what's in your heart. And Daniel knew that if he ate the food that was offered to Satan, and offered to the idols, that he would get all entangled and messed up with uni life in Iraq. And he would end up going exactly the same way as all the other boys, all the other teenagers, right? And I'll tell you something. This happened to me at uni. It's not exactly the same as Daniel. It wasn't about eating steak offered to the devil, right? But when I got to my uni, you know, when you get to university, you're 18 years old. So I know it's a long way off for you, but it's not long off for you, Ty. I was in a hall of residence, right, with a bunch of people, not Christians, any of them, or very few of them. And I was on the corridor. And then all these people going out, as soon as they get to uni, right, they say, hey, let's go out and get drunk. And let's spend the whole student loan on getting drunk. Right? And then let's all go and pick up a boy or a girl and take them back to your bedroom. Right. Yeah. So everyone's saying that, right? And you think, hey, let's get drunk and go and take someone back to your bedroom. And it's not to play tiddlywinks or watch TV. It's to do naughty, you know, be naughty. And I was a young guy, so I wanted to go along with the flow, right? So this is what I end up doing, something like that, you know, and I'm getting... And then God had to speak to me and make me stop. And you know what? He used somebody who was a non-Christian, complete non-Christian, you could say an idol worshiper, someone who was really into that, and he pretended to be God outside my room. So he said like this, he went, Neil, this is God, what are you doing? And I was in my bedroom being naughty. I'm like, oh, God's speaking to me. I'm freaking out. Oh, no. And then Even though he was joking, actually, God was still speaking through him. Do you see what I mean? It seemed like a joke, but in his mind, he was just joking, but God was still using him. He was controlling him to do that. And then from that day, I changed my life. God helped me to change my life. And I stopped being naughty at university. If you like, if I was Daniel, I'd stop eating the dodgy meat and drinking the wine, and I started eating vegetables and water. Do you see what I mean? And what happened to me? What do you think happened to me when I was down with all my friends? I put my tray of food down. What do you think they did? No, they didn't do that, actually. They picked up their trays and they moved to another table. So I was left on my own. Because I wasn't going their way anymore, I was going God's way. And I was upset and I cried, you know, because I really didn't like the fact that I'd gone the wrong way, but I also didn't go the right way, so I was stuck, you know. So Daniel and his friends, they made a good decision because right from the beginning, they didn't make my mistake. Right from the beginning, they said, right, we're not going to compromise at uni. We're going to do the right thing. Now, this is a question for you, because some of you guys are still quite young. Grace, how old are you? 12, right? 11, 12, and you're 10, is it? Yeah. Some of you guys are quite in between. But all of us, whether you're 10, 11, 12, 17, you have something in your life where you're going to be tested. Are you going to go God's way, or are you going to go the world's way? All right? I don't know what it is. It might be that your family are not very Christian, and that all they want for you is to make money. The only thing that they're always about career, 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 career. Come on, come on, get better grades, better grades. And when you're older, go to uni, get good grades, and then get a really good job. And it's all about getting that perfect job to be a doctor, a lawyer, engineer, whatever it is. Make lots of money, make lots of money. Make me proud. And you're under pressure, and you've got to be a bit like Daniel. You've got to say, no, I'm going to respect my parents. Definitely respect your parents. But I'm not going to make money my number one idol. I'm not going to worship money because I have to choose between money and Jesus, and I'm not going to choose money to choose Jesus. Or it could be that you have popularity is the most important thing for you, and your friends are always looking at you saying, what do you do on Sunday? You say, I just hang out with some of my friends, like downstairs in this building. We had some Haribo. What have I missed out? Missed out worshiping God, reading the Bible. Oh, so what? Who are these friends? You know, where is this building? It's Clerkenwell. What kind of building is it? It's a pretty old building. But what kind of building is it? It's a church. What? It's a church. It's a church. You got a church, man. Oh, that's so sad. What is wrong with you? Why don't you come out and party on Sundays? Why don't you just have a lie-in bed or go out and play football, play Xbox? You go to church. You're so sad. You go to church. You sad, sad person. Don't you want to have fun with your life? And that's the point when you're going to say, in your head, your mind will be going, whoa, which way do I go now? At school or college or whatever, university. Am I going to go God's way, stand up for Jesus, and risk looking like an idiot and everyone laughing at me? Or am I going to just go along with the crowd and eat the meat offered to the idols? You understand what I'm saying? You won't literally have to eat meat offered to idols. That's very unlikely. But symbolically speaking, there will be an equivalent of that in your life. Something at some point it will happen. You'll be at the crossroads. You have to choose. And I'm going to say choose like Daniel. I'm going to wrap up, guys, now, because I want to show you a few key verses in this passage to encourage you that if you make the right decision, God will bless you. Okay? So let's find out what happened to Daniel. He's like, these guys are all going down the gym every day, right? They're all really super fit, buff, tonked up guys, you know. Some of you girls would look at them and go, oh, that's not bad. They're really fit young guys. And they're all going to the gym every day, right? And if you want to go to the gym and get muscles, you need steak. You need meat. And Daniel and his friends are eating like Brussels sprouts and veg. So they're going to be all weedy and like have no muscles, right? So let's see what happens. At the end of 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than all the young guys who ate the royal food. So God's like, you're going to eat Brussels sprouts and drink water. I'm going to give you great physique and you're going to look better than all those other guys who have been working out at the gym every day, eating steak. Isn't that amazing? I'm not saying if you eat vegetables and say you pray to God, then you'll be really have amazing body shape. But God blessed him. And then to these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. And Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. At the end of his time set by the king to bring them into his service, the chief official presented him to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with him, so they got to see the king, the president of Iraq, the king of the world at the time. And he found nobody equal to them. In every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. So these guys finished uni at the age 21, and they were the best in their class, way above everyone in their class. Not only were they better than everyone in their class, they were better than all the old guys, the wise guys in the king's cabinet. It's like if you went to David Cameron and David Cameron like interviewed you guys and he was like, oh, okay, tell me about this. Tell me about politics. Tell me about the economy. And he's like, forget my cabinet. Forget everyone in my cabinet. I'm going to get you guys into the... I want you in the House of Parliament. 10 times better. And it says that God blessed them. It says, to these 4 young men, God gave knowledge. And earlier on it said, God caused the official to show favour. So I want to say to you that if you make that right choice in your life to go God's way, God is going to come through and bless you. Now, Jesus, of course, is the one person who had the hardest choice. When did Jesus have to make that tough choice whether he was going to go the way in the world or God's way? Do you remember? Where was he? It was much harder than which you need to go to. He was in a certain location. Do you remember the location? Where he had to make the choice. He wasn't on a mountain. Well, he was kind of in the mountain, yeah. On the mountain. He was in the garden, right? The Garden of Gethsemane. And do you remember at that point, he was basically knew that he was going to die or he could run away. Or he could even order the angels to come and rescue him, right? And remember, he went on his face and he was sweating blood, right? You remember that bit? And he said, God, please, please, I don't want to have to go through this. It's like maybe you're saying, I don't want to go to this uni. I don't want to do this in my life. I don't want to do this. I'm getting forced to do this thing. Please take this away from me. And he said, yeah, it's not what I want, it's what you want. And because Jesus took the hard choice, what was the result of that? He died on the cross. And what was the result of that?
He's famous.
But what was the result of that for us? That Jesus died on the cross.
We were saved.
From what? From our sin and from the punishment of our sin. And what happens to people that when they're punished for their sin, where do they go?
Heaven.
So where can we go because of Jesus died on the cross? Heaven. So Jesus took the hardest choice in human history and the best result came from it. And that's going to be the truth for you as well. That if you choose to go God's way with Jesus' strength in you, you can't do it on your own. You need the Holy Spirit. You need the strength of Jesus in you. You have to ask him for help. Otherwise, you will make the bad choice. Say, God, help me right now. I'm under pressure. I'm going to make the wrong decision. Jesus, you went my way so I could live in heaven. You forgave my sin. So please help me in a small way to be like you. Does that make sense? Right. I'm going to say a little prayer and then I'm going to hand back to Henry or Helen. I don't know which one of you guys. Okay. I'm going to hand back to you guys. Okay, so let me pray for you. Dear God, I want to thank you so much for all these guys in this room, ranging from Lawrence all the way up to Taylor, Lord. I just thank you so much that they're willing to come here to church on a Sunday to read the Bible and praise Jesus, Lord. And I want to say that I don't know their hearts. I can't read their minds. But I want to pray that I'm sitting amongst a whole bunch of Daniels. I want to pray that when they come to the moment of choice, where they can eat the meat and drink the wine, or they can drink the water and the vegetables, in other words, to go Satan's way, the world's way, or to go Jesus' way, I pray they'll make the right choice and that you will bless them. Because, Lord Jesus, you made the right choice for us when you died on the cross and you gave yourself, as grace said, that we could be saved from our sins, from going to hell, and we can go to heaven. Oh God, please give us the strength. I want to pray that these guys in this room will not make the mistakes that I made in my life, so they will have an even more fruitful and blessed life than me. And you've blessed me so much, and I pray you bless them 10 times more. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, back to you guys. I don't know who's taken over.